they make much difference. We were just completely isolated, most of the time. The rain, in the summer, it was much easier.
We were on Virgin Islands, we had beautiful weather. That was gorgeous.
Why, as much as we had, we could go, where are you going?
Went down on that Thursday night. Bright sunshine, rain.
Where were you?
We were on a boat.
On a boat?
Yeah, cruised. One of the people on the staff here, she's a boat down there, so it was in the six.
So you were lucky to be down there?
Yeah, I should say. Ideal vacation. Call it on the radio once a day at noon, and,
Where are you going to see your text?
That was the only contact we had, didn't see the newspaper. All right, now, hold on.
Sit over on, you don't mind John sitting in at the, was in at the follow-up, and because, not that.
We have families here, I think.
Sure, this one's, I think it's important, John, we try to speak very candidly about this. Terms of record. And Arthur and I will have to talk, about matters that are, basically, much like what we all wrote and write, and not want to have, a Kraken or Schultz or Conley. So if you are here, just be like a wall, you understand?
I understand.
And you know what I mean? It's a question, also, there are times when, easily, no, it's not for any other person, there are times that I would be able to talk to him alone, which I do, but that was the only thing. But I think it's important for some, I think too, that we do meet in Detroit, and we meet in the Quadria, and so forth and so on. And I think that, Arthur's position is that he at times can come in and give a completely independent view, and if he has something to say about, frankly, some of the others, he can tell me. He knows that we're good friends, and that I view it, that I'll take it in good grace. So that's why we want to arrange our meetings. So, but if you, whatever you feel that he should not say, you let me know. He doesn't have to. And if you want to discuss something completely privately, you say so. Fair enough.
Sir, John, we're old friends, but,
When are you taking over to Europe?
Oh, I'm going to Saturday, 4:30.
Yeah. How long?
Well, I'll be back on Monday.
Senator, I'm the chairman, the leader of the office. I can't tell you what it's about. It's quite important. The Germans are in terrible trouble now because of this Berlin negotiation. The Kissinger Party, which is the opposition to Brennan, which still has more seats than his party has, it's very close, you would call this. They're about ready to rip it in terms of the German treaty with the Russians. They could get some sort of Berlin agreement. Yes. That's why I spent the time with the opposition, trying to keep them from busting Brent in the tail. And of course, Brent
is thoroughly reliable.
Not very, let me put it this way. I think he's thoroughly reliable in his heart, but he isn't almost fine. Mm-hmm. Brent gives you the impression of, because he speaks beautiful English, you know, everybody gets the impression that Brent is very smart, but you know the fact that we are often misled by foreigners who speak but English, when some of the smartest people may not know our language. Brandt is basically a fellow with a pretty good heart, but he's somewhat emotional. And I think somewhat gullible, and therefore not too reliable. speed.
Make a little speech. Policy point or two, this is a program out, really sharing your song. Getting personally such warmth and affection, praise you for your courage in doing this, doing that, and this marks confidence.
That's very important.
I haven't heard any other cabinet member speak in that vein. They talk that intellectually, but...
Don't worry about what they're doing.
Yeah, he talks about you.
Their programs.
Now, he's awfully smart, they're awfully useful to you so far as I'm concerned here. Thank you.
I don't know what you can do about that, John, that's discussed with you and the whole damn cabinet and everybody. It is not a question of loyalty.
No.
I mean, Roger, Flair, and so forth, and all the rest. But John, there isn't another member of the cabinet that ever stepped up to the mark on that, is it?
Well, is it because it's because we've failed to call to their attention?
No. Well, you can't do that.
I don't call personally.
It's one thing that I cannot do. I'm not going to tell a cabinet to speak up for me, for Christ's sake.
No, but we have. And, we did not in blunt ways, but in, you know, as indirectly as
what about Volpe? I think sometimes he has, doesn't he?
Volpe does in his own way.
It's not quite what
he that's right. He's a little...
Let me fill you in on a little history, John, if you understand this. Arthur and I had a long talk. I don't know whether it was when you left or when you were still in the Fed. Fly over the cabin. You said he needs a stronger man. Maybe that's when I made the decision in my own mind that I had to go on the traitor. For Kennedy, I have enormous affection for him. He's a very highly reliable, decent man. But he wasn't worth a damn as a salesman. Don't you agree?
Like
a strong man. Now, frankly, the two best men we've got in this whole economic thing are you and Batman and Connell. Both you, because of your enormous wealth, you speak, you've got a clout, because of your background and so forth. And Connelly, he speaks with such assurance, you know, that they think he must know something we don't. And I think it's helpful a lot, don't you agree?
Yes, sir.
It makes a big difference.
He spoke to the leading businessman in Southern California while we were out in San Clemente, basically the Republican group, and all prepared to dislike him.
Yeah.
One of them was in my office the end of last week, and he said, "That's the finest man that I've heard speak to a group of in years." He said, "That man is presidential timber."
Sure.
He said, "He may be a Democrat, but," he said, "if that man ever runs for president," he said, "he's somebody that I'd like to get behind." Now, this is a fellow that you would never think would ever talk about a Democrat that way, but he talked about it also in vice presidential terms.
Yeah. Let's put it in another way. Senator Connally, do you think of any other member of the cabinet as a potential candidate for president? He talked about that.
No.
Actually, I recall he said one, not one. No. Vice president for that matter.
No, the closest is George Romney. Long time.
No. Well, Romney is fine, except that Romney doesn't have his... Well, you know, he zoomed out there in 68 and couldn't make it. And, you know, and once you fail in the major leagues, it's all hard to come back again.
I'm not too sure about that.
Stabilized in the last week. What happened? Did something happen? Did the Fed do something?
Yeah, the Fed did something.
get-togethers, hopefully it works. How is this, let me ask you this.
And the Urbans have it.
Well, let me ask you this. Conley said that he says, you know, he's going to send me a paper on this whole problem. He says that it's international and finance or sort of. I don't know who's preparing that. Is that Volcker?
Well, Volcker is preparing it.
Is he known about it?
We're working on it with him.
Yeah. Well, let me say this. It seems to me.
Paper to go to you.
The main thing is, it seems that you and he have got to be together. Did you consult throughout this period?
Yeah, we're consulting. And there's some differences of opinion.
Well, that's all right.
And there's a point beyond which, you see, drawing contingency plans where I'm not going to fight with my staff, and I'm not going to fight with both.
Contingency plans? Oh, heavens.
Yeah, but commonly not, I have an understanding.
Good. He doesn't go off in a different direction from you, vice versa, which is good.
No, we have an understanding. Thinking that what may happen in a time of crisis.
Yeah.
What these fellows want to do is to extend the crisis in the interest of arriving at the best possible agreement. I'm not smart enough to arrive to recognize the best possible.
No, thank you.
I want to do it over a weekend.
I see.
The crisis.
That's good.
And then you can only go on.
I could agree.
And Connolly sees the thing the way I do.
He's an activist. Good.
Yeah, even though, oh, he's fine. Look, Mr. President, I'd like to be able to say to the central bankers that all this talk in the newspapers about benign neglect of the balance of payments is something that you repudiate and condemn.
Right. Also, you could tell them this talk in the newspapers to the effect that the administration is throwing in the towel on inflation.
Right.
You can repudiate that. You can say,
but I think you ought to find out.
You ought to find out that what this president is saying, he's fighting these budget increases, he has used and will use the veto in the future. We're trying to get some of the labor people around. The problem there is we haven't got the Congress with us. We can't pass any legislation. But I think it's important that you say that, you can say that I have an enormous interest in. First, I have a great interest in this problem. I do not pretend to know anything about it. Second, that I am kept aware of it on a daily basis whenever there is a crisis, and weekly basis when there is not. And third, that my interest extends to the point that I would love any recommendations or suggestions and so forth as how we can improve the situation. And that's what it is. Will that do it? What do you mean by that? They think we don't care about it.
Well, there's no serious talk on the part of my officials.
I see.
By referring to you personally, I
sure.
Achieve it.
Sure.
Now, central bankers are not in the habit of talking to the press.
But they might.
Well, there is that element. But, after all, I don't see. I talked this over with Conley this morning. It's always a good idea.
All right. If you and Conley agree, you do it.
Now, next, point of information. Well, let me explain very briefly how we quieted things down.
Yeah.
We had a strong speculative flurry.
Yeah.
The Treasury moved in, sold $1.5 billion to branches of American banks and paid them a higher interest rate than we would have to pay in this country. Well, that took some courage on Conley's part. Because after you can imagine what Congress would say, why the hell do you want to pay these rich bankers a higher rate of interest than paying the ordinary, small banker?
I see why they did it.
Well, this was to intercept the flow of dollars to European central banks. And it was a very smart thing to do. We had this contingency plan worked out long ago. Now, we got the Fed tightened up a bit. We didn't like doing it, but we did it, and I want you to know, not only for international reasons, you see, but we wanted to get the other central banks to reduce their interest rates. You see, the outflow of dollars has been caused by very low interest rates here on short-term loans. On paper, high interest rates abroad. So I reached an understanding whereby they would go down a good deal and we would go up a little. That was very reassuring to markets, you see, that the profit involved in moving funds was sharply reduced. And also indicated that combined with the Treasury action, a willingness on our part to do something constructive to a problem. Now next, I would have done the same thing, I believe, and not been in the vaccination. I'm not sure why. Because you know, we've talked about 5 or 6% of the rate of growth of the money supply.
Yeah, and you're 7, I know.
Well, no, look where we are. Federal rate 14.0, March 10.5, quarter 8.6, that's too fast. And April is going to be another big month, apparently. Too fast. About 6. On the other hand, I don't want
to. You don't want to set the hood up.
I don't want
those flowers to just start to blow down.
Authority or lesser authority, depending on conditions as they
monthly, say, governmental policy, new prices of wages, because something has to be done. Inflationary increases in that key industry. Or you can do something else. You can say, you can issue directive to the cabinet committee to concern itself with key inflationary situations as they may develop over the next few months. And you give them authority to focus on one. And you may want to extend it, you see, later on. I wish you'd think about that.
Yeah, well,
and you might want to
urge you to say how
you would kick that over.
You could leave it open.
It's open.
For it to move.
And he issued such a directive that would satisfy many people who talked about the wage and price movement.
You want to see if you could have on that.
Well, no, you've got the cabinet.
Subcommittee? Well, set it up as a
separate
committee, you know. I mean, I see your point. The use of the cabinet is more controllable.
More?
Well, you've got Conley, you'd have to have Stan, you'd have to have labor. I wouldn't have a hell of a lot more.
Well, the
Congress later.
Republican and Democratic will join. The response tomorrow, of course, is